Space and Iraq cable.
Thank you. What I want to talk about here today is a rather exotic subject, which is not the sort of the main theme of this workshop, maybe. So first I want to explain the sort of the motivation why I am doing, and a kind of a dream that I'm just thinking for our project. First I want to explain that sort of the story that is already well known. For example, if we consider the Ising model, which were on the two-dimensional square lattice, we put plus minus spin on the side. And it's very well known that it has second order phase transition point. On the phase transition point, it corresponds to the continuum theory, where free fermions are sitting on the flat space. And therefore, in this continuum limit of this lattice theory, this simple system just turns into the field theory model, where a fermion can be microscopically interpreted as a sort of the Dirac string, where starting point is sitting on the dual lattice. Now, it is also known already that suppose we put the Ising spin on the dynamically triangulated lattice, then this system again has a sort of the second order phase transition point. Then this system corresponds to the fermions coupled to the gravity. Therefore, matter fermion here coupled to the gravity can be understood somehow in this way. This this kind of thing is analyzed by the matrix model, and we can do this sort of the new calculation analytically. So matters are sitting on the side here in this system, and gravitational background can be generated by the dynamical triangulation. Namely, the triangles are put next by next rather randomly. Now, it is very natural, I think, to expect something similar happen even in higher dimension. So instead of triangles, maybe in three dimension, for example, tetrahedron might be the fundamental object to put next by next randomly, and probably some fields like Ising spin, like thing are sitting on the side, and some other fields are on the links, and on the triangle and tetrahedrons. So I would like to think the sort of the system in this way, so that we want to construct a kind of theory where gauge theories on a simplicial manifold. And maybe we may understand fermions and some kind of gauge transformations, and possibly with a supersymmetry there. Let me first point out how these scenarios are good in two dimension. This is our very recent result of the two-dimensional quantum gravity and measuring fractal dimension. What is measured here is something like the sort of the fractal dimension. Namely, two-dimensional sphere can be now dynamically triangulated or dynamically somehow by the triangle. It has some sort of the approximation, triangle putting next by next, which are the sphere topology. And what we measure numerically, for example, is to count the number of the triangle starting from some site within the radius r. We will just count the number of the triangle, which could be just putting next by next rather randomly. And if the surface is rather flat, then the number of the triangles will grow r to the square. Now suppose we measure these sort of the numbers as r to the some constant power, then we just identify this system as a has a fractal nature. So depending on how many of the how much of the matter field on this dynamically triangulated lattice, these number might be changed. Actually, about 10 years ago, we have measured first for this C equal minus 2 model and found out that the fractal dimension is 3.55 or something like that. And those are three analytic predictions for this fractal dimension by using Liouville theory. Those values are our recent numerical result by using generalized POTS model. And as you can see that these numerical values are consistent with one of the theoretical predictions, actually, which we calculated some years ago. So fractal dimension, we believe that fractal dimension is the most fundamental, essential observable for two-dimensional quantum gravity. And it seems to be that they are quite consistent with numerically and theoretically. And here, there are some deviations. But we believe that here, from the fractal phase to the so-called branched formal phase, there would be some jump here. So in this region, we need to have many triangles to measure accurately.
There is a principal problem to pass this. There is a theoretical problem, but what about numerical?
You mean here in this region?
C equal one, yes. Numerically, also some problems appear.
Numerically, I believe this our curve is correct. Therefore, it should jump from here to 2. If the phase is branched polynomial phase after C equal 1, then from here to there it should jump. But numerically, it's always very difficult to have this jump, right? We need to have many triangles to measure this accurate jump. So I think that's the reason.
Sorry, maybe I missed this. What is C?
Oh, excuse me. Central charge. Excuse me, yeah. For example, central charge 0.5 is the Ising model. And here, Ising spin is sitting on the side of the dynamically triangulated lattice. So there are several points, but if we consider Potts model, then we can vary the central charge.
Do you have any example for C equal minus 1?
What was the question?
Yeah, in your case, is there any explicit model corresponding to C equal minus 1? No?
Not really. But I don't want to explain the detail here, but this POTS model can be transformed into the sort of the weighted power correlation model, where we can change Q, Q state POTS model Q can be changed into the non-integer value actually, so that conformal field it is non-conformal point actually, and we can just construct these things. Now then, what I want to imagine is that we may just construct some of the model where. We'll try to construct the sort of the gauge theory which are constructed by the form, differential form degree, 0 form, 1 form, 2 form, 3 form, may correspond to the simplex, point, ring, triangles, and tetrahedrons. And if we can construct this kind of gauge theory, then we put 0 form, 1 form, 2 form, 3 form on site, ring, bracket, tetrahedron, and so on, so that gravity and gauge theory may be somehow coupled to construct some sort of the dynamical system. Now, what I want to point out here is that about 10 years ago, we have proposed the following formulation of the generalization of the gauge theory. In the standard gauge theory, of course, the gauge field is one form, gauge parameter is zero form, and here is the exterior derivative. A curvature can be defined by two forms, and gauge transformation for the adjoint representation can be expressed like this. We have, as a standard, we have three defined kind of actions: Chan-Simon action, topological. This is the topological Young-Mills action, and standard Young-Mills action. Now, corresponding to this, for each part, we extended this standard gauge theory into arbitrary dimension in such a way that introducing all the degrees of a differential form. For example, this part includes direct sum of the odd form, but that part includes direct sum of the even form. And those are the fermionic part, odd form, even form. One ijk is the quaternions. So quaternion somehow classifies four different kind of object: even form, odd form, fermion, and bosons. And this has a different structure of for gauge parameter, but it has also fermionic part and bosonic part, and even form and odd form. Then the derivation can be defined J of the quaternion times the exterior derivative. Curvature can be defined parallel to this one. Gauge transformation like this. And then we can define Chan-Simon kind of action, topological Young-Mills type action, and also Young-Mills type action. Here, the product can be defined in these two actions, can be defined by wedge product. But for the Young-Mills action, the product need so-called Clifford product, which I will explain later. And to be more explicit, for example, for the Chan-Simon action, for simplicity, I will just forget about the fermion part and then just consider the bosonic part. The coefficient of J is the direct sum of odd form. Coefficient of K is the direct sum of even form. Zero form, one form, two form, three form, four form are there. And similarly, for the gauge parameter, zero form, one form, two form, three form, four form are there. One IJKs were quaternions. Then what we found out is this type of the bosonic action. Actually, this one is even-dimensional bosonic action, where we take case component of the quaternions. This guy has gauge invariance under the standard gauge transformation for Carrier. It turns out in two-dimensional expression, this has this form, because this phi is a zero form, omega is one form, d is one form, therefore this is two-form counterpart of this action. The four-form counterpart of this action is like this. Now, omega is one form. Therefore, this part is a curvature. And this B is a two-form here. So the leading term of this, our four-dimensional Chan-Simon action, is well-known BF theory. And similarly, if we take J's component of the quaternion, we can find out odd dimensional counterpart of Chan-Simon action. This is one-dimensional Chan-Simon. This is three-dimensional Chan-Simon. And since omega is one form, this is the standard Chan-Simon part. In addition to that, there are terms which has zero form, two form, and three form contribution like this. So you can see that this is a generalization of the standard Chan-Simon action into including other rank of differential forms. Now what turns out is that those actions are invariant under these gauge transformations. And the topological nature has a similar structure. Now what I want to point out here is that we have constructed the sort of the gravity theory on the lattice by using the first part of this Chan-Simon, three-dimensional Chan-Simon, and four-dimensional Chan-Simon. Namely, It is well known by the formulation of Witten that we can construct Einstein gravity by using Chan-Simon action. And then we put we constructed a sort of the lattice counterpart of Einstein gravity in three-dimensional case by using this Chan-Simon action. It turns out that this this action is equivalent to the so-called Ponzano-Lecce model, which is topological, actually, and division invariant. And we can do the same game for in four-dimensional case by using this action here. And actually, it turns out that it becomes 15J gravity, where J is angular momentum J, and it is division invariant. Namely, these two gravity actions are division invariant, namely the topological. And it turns out that this one form and two form are successfully on the simplicial lattice. One form, two form counterpart of the simplex. So we believe that this sort of the scenario, like putting the sort of the differential form on the simplicial lattice, may work. And furthermore, what we have done for Young-Mills type of action is that in this formulation, which I haven't explained detail, but in these formulations, graded real algebra plays an important role. Namely, we need to introduce graded real algebra to formulate the odd dimensional counterpart of the of those actions. Suppose we choose a graded supergroup of SU2/1 for this Young-Mills type of action, then it turns out that this action itself leads to the Weinbaum-Salam model, which has SU2 cross U1 as a subgroup. And this is actually, it means that this type of action includes a Konnus formulation as a part of the formulation with a non-commutative geometry. Here in the Konnus formulation, two points are represented by 2x2 matrix, while here in these quaternions are playing the role for this 2x2 matrix, and zero form are on the off-diagonal component of the 2x2 matrix, and gauge bosons are in the diagonal component, and it can successfully describe the Weinbaum-Salam model if you choose SU2/1 supergroup.
Exactly,
excuse me?
It's not a topological model.
It's not topological. Since we are using now the cup product or the Clifford product, it is not topological anymore. And we can construct this Weinbaum-Salam model in this way. Now, here I want to explain the application of this model, namely topological Young-Mills theory for in the formulation. Now, so we think that these differential forms, n-form differential form, can be put on these simplicial lattice. Now, therefore, gravitational background may be just constructed by this putting these fundamental simplex next by next. And gauge field are sitting on these side link bracket, etc., etc. And gauge transformation may be the exchange of these field in a very complicated way, where it was shown in this gauge transformation, with gauge parameters are also sitting here in this scattered in that way. So gauge transformation can be understood in this way. Probably gravitational background may be induced by the putting these fundamental simplex next by next. So how do we treat these matter fermions or possibly the supersymmetry? That is the sort of the question which I want to pose. Now, first, I want to explain this so-called Dirac-Keras fermion with you. So let me try to explain what Dirac-Keras fermion means And I want to pose one question for one long-standing question for this in connection with Dirac-Kara fermions.
Can I ask about Brewer's transparency?
Yes.
I mean, you introduced this form, which I suppose describes higher speed, right? This field.
Yes.
W omega b.
Integer spin, you mean.
The integer higher spin.
Yes.
Now, this also means that if you suggest some action, this is sort of theory which contains higher spin.
Wait.
And we knew that this theory are...
ill.
Yeah, they are sort of, you know, difficult to construct.
But that's exactly... That's exactly my theorem which I'm going to explain today. Okay? So I'll come to that point. That's the question which I'm posing just now, okay? Which is related to this Dirac-Kara fermions. Now, D as a differential accelerated derivative, delta as a derivative of D, where delta is minus star D star, star is a Hodge star. And D plus delta square is known that it's a Laplacian. While D slash or gamma mu D mu square is a Laplacian too. So, from this we can see that there is a very good correspondence. D plus delta may correspond to D slash. Well, if you look at these things carefully, delta is nothing but the differentiation of dx mu. So D plus delta is dx mu wedge products plus differentiation of dx mu times a differential. So this part here will correspond to gamma mu. And then, yes, it is known that this part here, dx mu wedge product plus dx mu differential, we write dx mu of the cup product or Clifford product, which will correspond to gamma mu. In fact, if we take dx mu dx nu as an anti-commutator with cup product or Clifford product, it turns out to be 2 times g mu nu, which is equivalent to the algebra of the Clifford algebra.
So here you're saying that gamma matrices basically represent this exterior algebra.
What did you say?
You're basically saying that gamma matrices give a representation of the exterior algebra.
That's right. Except that we have to use this Clifford product. So, and then we introduce this kind of object, which is here dx mu is contracted with mu here, gamma mu, with this in this way, where here the transpose is here, but anyway. And then alpha j, I should probably write alpha beta, because gamma matrix has 2 spinor suffix. But let me write this second suffix as j here. So this is a base to represent this sort of the Clifford algebra. Now what it turns out is that dx mu of the Clifford product with this basis, we just pick up gamma matrices, one gamma matrices, which are contracted in this way. So here, this z here is a representation of this algebra, which are just a differential form algebra, equivalent to the gamma matrix, Clifford algebra. So suppose we have this sort of the general direct sum of the differential form, 0 form, 1 form, 2 form, etc. It may have a sort of the gauge dependence. And then we expand these form degrees in this way, where z is a base which I have shown now. And then let's consider this kind of equations. D Clifford product, D cup product to the psi. This is purely differential form relation. By using the previous equations, this just turns into that equation, where Z is spanning as sort of the complete set. So equals 0 turns out to be, by taking this out, we can have this kind of equation, which is nothing but the Dirac equation, except that it has another suffix here. So this kind of differential form relation turns into the Dirac equation. This is called Dirac-Kehrer fermion formulations. But the funny thing here is that since it was expanded by gamma matrices, it has two suffixes. There is a second suffix here. And actually, in many years ago, which I have been doing also this sort of the formulation, that this formulation is very fundamentally related to the chiral fermion formulation, namely, the Dirac-Kehrer fermion on the flat space is nothing but a Susskind fermion formulation. And furthermore, it is equivalent to the Stargard fermion formulations, which we proposed many years ago. And these second suffix is essentially related to the species double of the chiral fermions. Well, in the latest time, since these Susskind fermions have been known quite some time, and later it was pointed out that the Susskind fermion is nothing but this Dirac-Kehrer fermion formulation, then in those times this second suffix was considered to be the flavor suffix in the lattice theory. And the question here is this really the flavor suffix? And what I'm going to explain to you today is this is not the flavor suffix, but extended Suji suffix. So I want to show this in a very by explicit model.
Can you show me the previous transfer? I forgot the name.
Excuse me?
Can you show me the,
yes.
The previous transfer?
Previous one. Yes.
What was the
Zn? Alpha J, where gamma, this is a product of the gamma matrices. So I should probably write alpha beta. But instead of writing beta spinor suffix, I have written down J, since people say this J as a flavor suffix, usually.
Oh, but here it looks like spinors.
Yes, it is. So, of course, I mean, we can just think this J. I put this parenthesis here. We could say this is another gamma spinor matrices, but this spinor index suffix was interpreted as flavor suffix, which has an origin from the Susskind fermion formation. It has a spinor, it has a flavor suffix, and this flavor, this number of flavor, it has an essential connection with the species doubles of chiral fermions, actually. So what I want to talk today is a sort of the formulation, let me explain my collaborators. There was my student Kato Uchida, and one of the things which I have done already some years ago with Kiyoka, I'll try to explain to you here. The one thing which I first want to point out is a well-known thing by Witten and Boryu Singer, that topological Young-Mills action plus instanton gauge fixing plus some twist, so-called twisting procedure, will lead us n equal to 2 super Young-Mills action. This instanton gauge fixing procedure was pointed out by Boryu Singer and other people that anyway, these sort of the four-dimensional topological Young-Mills action with instanton gauge fixing just lead to the super Young-Mills. Now, by the formulation which we proposed by this generalized gauge theory, we can just construct the sort of the action which in any dimension. So we play the same. We did the sort of the similar story like this, which was done in four-dimensional case, namely generalized topological Young-Mills action plus instanton gauge fixing. And then we just do some twisting procedure there. Then it turns out it gives n equal to 2 super Young-Mills action. So what I want to show here today is this twisting procedure here is nothing but the Dirac-Kehrer mechanism. At least in two dimension, we can show it very explicitly. And furthermore, behind this formulation, twisted superspace formulation is very fundamental and hidden behind there. that I want to explain to you today. So first thing, let me first from the very simple model, two-dimensional BF theory. The model looks like this, phi times d omega, in the sense of the differential form. So it's two-dimensional. Epsilon mu nu, d mu omega nu. It's obvious that this action has this case symmetry, and delta phi is zero. Let's consider for simplicity as a sort of the Abelian case. And then let's gauge fix this action. Here's a sort of the gauge transformation. So this V gauge parameter turns into the ghost, and BR symmetry should be imposed there. This B d mu omega mu part will make a sort of the random gauge fixing. B is a sort of the Lagrange multiplier for this gauge fixing part. And C by C is for the Popov part. And these two things together, we can write BRS charge times anti-ghost with gauge fixing part. So all these three things are just quantization of this action, very simple thing. And then, of course, this action is well known that it has a BRS symmetry. With BRS transformation are written here with black letters. And it was discovered about 10 years ago or around that time that there is another fermionic vector counterpart of the symmetry, which is somewhat similar to this BR symmetry, namely this S mu, we call it. It's a vector symmetry.
Phi is a physical field in two-dimensional Abelian BF theory.
Excuse me?
Physical field, phi.
Phi is what? Phi is a physical field, you're asking. Where physical, what do you mean physical?
I mean you're propagating.
Well, it's not completely. It is, you know, omega change into phi. Phi change into omega. So in that sense, you may say propagate, but it doesn't have a sort of the standard sense. This is topological theory, actually. Then?
There is no physical thing.
And there is also pseudo-scalar counterpart of this BR symmetry. So all these black part, this has been also later found that on shell, at least on shell, those are the sort of the quantity which will correspond twisted n equal to 2 supersymmetry. And then we found out, if we put these things together in addition to that, then the transformation change it in this way, and then this
What is the lambda rho?
Oh, this is the auxiliary field. So we introduce some auxiliary field, lambda and rho, okay? And this lambda and rho transform under this SS mu S tilde like this, whereas these parts are slightly changed. Then this guy has off-shell n equal to 2 supersymmetry. So from on-shell n equal to 2 supersymmetry, it is raised to off-shell to n equal to 2 supersymmetry. Now, why this is n equal to 2? Why is it something to do with n equal to 2 supersymmetry? The reason is the following. Now, this is a well-known supercharge relation. QQ is 2 delta ij gamma times P slash. P. Now, let's just try to change this Q, transform Q into this S mu S tilde counterpart, where 1 gamma mu gamma phi is a gamma matrix in 2 dimension. So, spinor suffix alpha j or alpha beta turns into vector suffix, scalar vector pseudo scalar. So, this one is rather similar to this Jack-Keeler mechanism here. Spinor suffix turn into the tensor suffix here. And then it turns out this relation is equivalent to that relation. Namely, by solving this SS mu nu S tilde, that satisfies this equation here. And then it's actually the representation. Namely, if we, for any field, for any kind of field which is just shown here, satisfies this relation, we can just apply for any field, and these representations are represented. So in this way, we say this is twisted version of n equal 2 supersymmetry. Now, since we have found this sort of the new term, which is auxiliary field, we can now show that this action here, this is nothing but the BF, two-dimensional BF action with the quantization plus auxiliary field. And we found out the sort of the off-shell n equal to twisted supersymmetry. It turns out that it is equivalent to this action here, where she is a ghost, she by is anti-ghost, and SS2, S mu, S nu are those Fermionic generators. So it's very simple now. Looks like this is equivalent to that one. Now if we introduce some Fermionic parameter in addition there, this looks that it has some sort of the superspace formulation behind here. And since it's, if there is a superspace formulation behind there, then off-shell n equal 2 supersymmetry is rather trivial. Indeed, we found out that behind this formulation, there is a sort of the, which we call twisted superspace formulation, namely standard supercharge has two suffixes here, which can be written down like this, where large theta is a parameter of the superspace, and the super transformation can be defined in this way, and this is the original supercharge transformation. And since we know the relation between Q and S mu S tilde, we can define the differential the supercharge, twisted supercharge, as a differential operator. And corresponding to this differential operator, we usually define this twisted part of the differential operator, where d mu, sine of d mu is interchanged here. Therefore, we can just define the chiral superfield, etc., etc. So we define the sort of the twisted superspace in the sense that this F is expanded by coordinate with this twisted superspace parameter in this way, and superspace transformation can be defined by introducing a scalar superparameter, vector superparameter, and pseudo scalar superparameter, and so on.
Just a quick question. Where yes. Are the fermions? In the original action, there are no fermions.
Original action has no fermions, right. But ghost is a fermions.
Okay, so ghost is the part.
Right. Here, if I look at this one, those are the bosons.
Right.
And that one is auxiliary field. Since this is boson, so that one should be boson.
Okay.
But this is ghost and fermion, anti-ghost fermion. Those are the fermion too.
Oh, these are also fermions.
These are fermions,
okay,
too.
In this sense, is there any relation between the PLS symmetry and the supersymmetry?
Yeah, that's what I'm just trying to say. I mean, what I mean is that supersymmetry and PLS symmetry has fundamental relation in the sense that, you see, this S is a PLS charge. So the scalar counterpart of the superspace, supercharge, of the twisted supercharge is nothing but BRS charge. That is a statement here. And then we can just define, just like we usually do for the chiral superspace, etc., etc., we can just construct the twisted superspace counterpart of these things, namely pseudo-scalar or scalar condition for d psi bar, d tilde of psi bar should vanish. Then it turns out d operating on this z mu, d operating on theta mu vanishes. Therefore, solution for this equation can be written down in general like this, which is a function of z mu and theta mu. This can be expanded in this way. And also there is another vector counterpart, which has the same number of this condition here. And then in this case, turns out that d mu operated for this z tilde vanishes, and also d mu operated on theta, theta tilde. This d tilde, d mu, I have defined as a differential operator in the previous transparency. So d mu differentiate with d theta, theta tilde, that vanishes too. Therefore, the solution for this equation is like this, which is a function of z tilde and theta tilde. So those are the superspace counterpart of the standard chiral superspace. This is a twisted version of this.
And also, this all depends on the gauge choice, so if you took a different gauge choice, then...
That's a good question. Actually, when we choose a sort of the covariant gauge, like lambda gauge, we obtain this. But if we choose some different gauge choice, it won't get some sort of the beautiful superspace transformation. So we have not yet completely understood that part. But if we choose a sort of the standard gauge choice, it will lead this. And then what we just try to take psi bar psi of this superspace formulation, which we can actually write down. This part here, we can write down the superspace transformation for this anti-Gauss C bar and superspace transformation for Gauss C. So it actually turns out that this psi bar psi of the superspace bilinear counterpart just leads to our quantized BA function, but plus with this auxiliary field. So actually, in this sort of the quantization mechanism of this two-dimensional simplest BF theory, which has abelian gauge symmetry, quantizing it, we read to the quantized BF action, plus some auxiliary field, we just read to this superspace formulation here. This is a fermionic counterpart of the superspace. Here, where the leading term of this main primary field of this superspace expansion is the fermions here, Gauss and anti-Gauss. Of course, we should have sort of the vector counterpart, the bosonic version of this superspace. So we do the same game for the bosonic counterpart, namely, for the leading term, we just scalar, and then expand this like this. So this is a bosonic superspace. For this vector part, is a scalar again, and here's a bosonic counterpart of the superspace, which correspond to the previous transparencies. Then we construct phi bar phi, which can be written down like this. Then it turns out this kind of action here, which is now, of course, n equal to off-shell, this action has off-shell n equal to supersymmetry. Now then we make the following change of variables. Namely, here is this fermionic scalar part, fermionic pseudo-scalar part here, and this is fermionic vector part here. So those are contracted by the gamma matrix 1, gamma mu, gamma 5. And then define this quantity as psi alpha j, which is nothing but the Dirac-Kehrer formulation. And for the bosonic part, we change the variable in this way. And then what it turns out afterwards is the action can be written down like this, where this part is nothing but the Dirac-Kehrer fermion part, where J has two, where J is contracted in this way, and there is another counterpart. Now, if we omit J here, this is nothing but two-dimensional counterpart of Bessel-Zumino action. Now, it has two copies of Bessel-Zumino action. And this two copy is counted by this J here, which is just nothing but two copies of the n equal 1 supersymmetry. Namely, this is n equal 2 supersymmetric version of the Bessel-Zumino action. So from this first statement is that this second suffix of this Dirac-Kehrer formulation is essentially related to the extended Suzy suffix here. Here is some evidence already. So for the scalar part, scalar superfield, we have found out the sort of the correspondence which I wanted to do. What about for the vector superfield? Before going there, let me just explain the sort of the formulation which I explained in the first transparency, which is Witten's formulations, that this is a sort of the standard relation, of topological relation. F, wedge product F, which is a topological quantity, this is related to the instanton number in if we take the compact group, which is related to D times Chan-Simon. This is very well-known relation. Now, let's consider the sort of the Young-Mills action here, and then add this topological part. Since this topological part is D times Chan-Simon, if the four-dimensional manifold doesn't have any boundary, this action turns to be zero, except that large gauge change of the topology. So as far as the gauge transformation is in within the small gauge transformation, this doesn't give any contribution. So this is zero, essentially. So adding Young-Mills out to this topological counterpart will give us this sort of the relation where this is positive definite, and if we take F plus minus star F, then this action will be minimum. That's nothing but the instanton solution. So instanton solution gives us a sort of the minimum for the Young-Mills action. We can consider in this way too, but we can consider these things in this way too. Namely, just take the sort of the topological Young-Mills action and then impose gauge fixing, instanton gauge fixing, whereas this is anti-Ghost, where S is a Birrell's charge. This is a standard gauge fixing procedure, plus some sort of the extra term which is exact. There are some sort of the term which is Ghost, the first stage reducible, so we need to put this part, etc. So these are the sort of the small minor corrections. But what is essentially this means is that if we impose this gauge fixing, this topological action is equivalent to the Young-Mills action. Since this is a Lagrange multiplier thing. Therefore, and then what turns out afterwards, here introduce some sort of the twisting procedure, then this whole action in four dimension turns into n equal 2 super Young-Mills action. So the question is, what is this twist here again? And in order to understand that, we do the same game by using our formulation, two-dimensional version of topological Young-Mills action. This is a sort of the topological relation which I have shown just now. Corresponding topological relation for this generalized gauge theory looks like this. A super trace of this F wedge F is Q as a differential operator times generalized Chan-Simon action. So it has exactly the same form. And to be more explicit, in two dimensions, this relation looks like this. Those are the sort of the two-dimensional topological Young-Mills action, which we call this generalized version of topological Young-Mills action, where phi is a zero form, omega is one form. This type of action has a relation d times, this is one-dimensional Chan-Simon action. In four dimension, the leading term is a well-known relation. This is a topological Young-Mills action. The leading term is nothing but F wedge F equals D times Chan-Simon, where this is the standard Chan-Simon. So the red line part is nothing but this relation. But now, of course, in four dimension, since we have another differential form, two form, three form, etc., and so on, so we have extra term like this. But still, we have D times this relation. This is a topological relation. And of course, we know that in the standard gauge theory, this integral is just instanton, is essentially related to the instanton number. So I have been asking to the mathematicians, what is this quantity? It should be related to the index, some kind of index. We don't know yet the answer, but some mathematicians say that this might be something to do with the index theorem of the non-compact group. But we don't know yet. But anyway, this obviously has some essential relation with some topological quantity, since it has this beautiful relation here. Now, by using this two-dimensional counterpart of topological Young-Mills action, we do the same game as in four dimension. This is a sort of our curvature, generalized curvature in two dimension, which looks like this, where this B is two form, omega is one form, and so on. It has one component and I component. And then we just construct this kind of action in order to get in order to find out two-dimensional counterpart of the instanton relation. And then we just plug in there. It turns out that this action is equivalent to that action, but this square and that square comes out. Therefore, instanton should be the minimum of this topological Young-Mills action. Namely, this should vanish and that should vanish. And those are the sort of the instanton relation in two dimensions. Now, actually, there is a classical solution corresponding to these two relations. And then we do the same game as in four dimensions. The original topological Young-Mills action, S as a BRS charge with some term where F minus phi square is a topological instanton relation. We introduce some sort of the correction part here. This d mu phi is zero is again a sort of the instanton relation. We introduce slightly is a sort of the auxiliary field. And these are the sort of the ghost for the first stage reducible ghost remaining gauge fixing part. And this is the exact part. And then now we integrate pi out. Since some of these fields we just turn into pi square, so pi can be integrated out by the Gaussian integral. And then it turns out that the action, this action looks like this. And this is twisted n equal to super Young-Mills action, where its O2 gauge symmetry is still remaining. Now this part here, which is the kinetic part of the ghost part, turns out to be Dirac-Keller fermion. And this SO2 gauge symmetry is still remaining there. Now the transformation of this BRS looks like this. And again, we find out vector symmetry, which looks like this, and pseudo-scalar counterpart of this fermionic action, fermionic symmetry, corresponding to this BRS charge. And then up to the gauge transformation, here up to the gauge transformation, this transformation satisfies n equal 2 super, twisted to n equal 2 supersymmetry. And the relation is like before, this super, original supercharge and this twisted supercharge has this relation. And it has, as you can see, it has essential relation with the Dirac-Keller mechanism here. And then let me just point out that this part here, the sort of the red wavy line part, can be written down if we just redefine this quantity, scalar vector pseudo scalar. Scalar vector scalar like this, psi and chi, which has a similar relation like this, we can write it down in this way. Namely, two fermions appears by this definition. Two Dirac-Keller fermions appears. The trace is just summation of this so-called flavor suffix there. Therefore, the previous n equal 2 action turns into this action, where now we have the original form, like fermions are here, but the Dirac-Keller fermions are there, and some Higgs the Higgs field are here, and this one has n equal 1 supersymmetry. Actually, this action is already known, so-called Bongomorny action. And it has Nielsen-Olsen vortex, so it has some sort of the topological nature.
This is still a topological
group theory? Actually, if you introduce the sort of the this Higgs part, then it is slightly away from the topological action, and it has Nielsen-Olsen vortex as a classical solution. Then we can just do the same game for the twisted superspace like this. Chiral decomposition of this twisted superspace. And we can define like this, and differential operator in this way. And we introduce vector superfield like this with the best Zimino gauge. And then the chiral superfield, introducing chiral superfield like this. And then, as usual, gauge transformation looks like this with this super as a chiral superfield. And this is a vector superfield, which has this well-known relation. And we can define this chiral superfield in this way and that way, which has suffix now mu and scalar counterpart. Those are chiral. Those satisfy chiral condition, and it's again the gauge invariant. And we can define this W and W mu, we can expand this W and W mu, where V has a relation in the previous transparency. And then what it turns out, where the scalar superfield is defined here too, and this is a sort of the standard. Slightly non-standard because this W has mu suffix here, and this super parameter has mu suffix here, so this mu is contracted. In the general, in the standard superspace formation, the super parameter doesn't have vector suffix, but in this case we just introduce in this way. This is a sort of the well-known super Young Mills type. This usually will give the sort of super Young Mills type action. And then it turns out, actually, that this will lead to that kind of action, where d, phi, k comes out. Now, if we integrate d and k mu out, the action turns into this action, which is equivalent to our previous action. And it turns out that this is just topological and Mills action plus instanton gauge fixing. So in this way, the even in this two-dimensional superang Mills case, it has superspace is behind this formulation. What I should stress here is that this sort of the red wavy part has Dirac-Kehrer mechanism working there. And then the question is, how could this ghost change into matter? Your question. Because originally it has some sort of the anti-symmetric tensor. It should have integer spin. So how could this change into the matter film, which has a half integer spin? And this is hidden in the sort of the scenario in the algebra. This is a well-known n equal 2 supersymmetry. Supercharge relation here. J as angular momentum with P mu has this relation. But J as angular momentum with a supercharge has this relation. Namely, J as angular momentum, since Q is has a spinor suffix for this alpha, so J will just rotate spinor suffix like this, where gamma 5 is now the as a representation for this Lorentz transformation of the spinor part. Now then there is another rotation called R symmetry, which will rotate the second suffix of this Q. Namely, this will rotate not for the spinor part, but for the so-called flavor suffix, but in the very similar way. It's a Lorentz transformation of this flavor suffix. And then we have done this sort of the transformation, the scalar, vector, pseudo-scalar, twisted supercharge was turned into the, was related to the original supercharge like this. So alpha I can be, of course, considered as a sort of the spinor suffix too. But then J prime should be now interpreted as J plus R, where the algebra is now written down here. And then what it turns out, this, these guys have a sort of the same twisted supercharge relation as before, but this J prime now rotate this vector suffix like this. This is a Lorentz transformation for the vector suffix in two dimension. But this R charge will change from S to S tilde, S tilde to S. And R charge rotate S mu also with this vector suffix, but with half integer spin. So what it turns out eventually as an interpretation to answer to George's question is that we have twist is nothing but the Dirac-Kehrer mechanism. Now, for example, this scalar, vector, pseudo-scalar ghost can be now defined like this. And then now J prime in the twisted space, we define the so-called angular momentum in the twisted space with the original angular momentum with R charge here. J plus R charge is now defined as a new angular momentum in the twisted superspace. And then J is a rotation for this spinor suffix like this. And R is a rotation for the flavor suffix for on the right-hand side. And this can be written down like this. This is nothing but a joint a representation, a joint transformation for the fermions in the twisted space. So J prime is nothing but J plus R, where R will have a sort of the half integer eigenvalue. This one has a half integer eigenvalue. Half integer turns into the integer spin. And then, therefore, the R symmetry will just assure the sort of the change of the spin. The ghost spin turned into the matter spin, where some part is just divided into the R charge there. So the R symmetry of n equal 2 supersymmetry is nothing but the Frobenius symmetry of the Dirac-Kerr-Feynman formulation. So integer spin ghost will then turn into half-integer matter fermions. So we believe this is a scenario. Then a summary, and I want to summarize that twist is Dirac-Kerr mechanism. Twisting procedure is Dirac-Kerr mechanism. And Frobenius suffix of the Dirac-Kerr fermion is nothing but the extended Suzy suffix. And behind this Dirac-Kerr mechanism, twisted superspace formulation is essentially hidden there. Now, this is a sort of the story in two dimensions. By using our generalized Chan-Simon, generalized Young-Mills formulation, now, of course, extension to four dimension is needed. We have been already working on it, but the extension is pretty non-trivial. We have not yet got the sort of the definite answer yet, but seems to be somehow this mechanism is also working even in four dimension. However, in four dimension, if we just generalize this two-dimensional result in four-dimension in a naive way, we believe that n equal d equal 4, d is the dimension, twisted superspace formalism should be behind there. And the Dirac-Kerr mechanism is essentially related in this way. And our hope is that gravity and gauge theory and matter fermions are probably defined very nicely on the simplicial manifold, because gravity is a sort of the fundamental synthesis of the four dimension. Gauge theory can be just formulated by our generalized gauge theory, because they are formulated by the differential form, so it's very easy to put them on the simplicial lattice. And matter fermions, which is related to this quantization here now, is will just reproduce the sort of the matter fermion by using the Dirac-Kerr mechanism. So we believe this kind of scenario may work. And actually, recently, Clifford product, which is cup product, we have defined successfully on the lattice. Now, possibly, Suzy may be defined nicely by using this mechanism. Thank you.